Robinhood, the trading app popular with millennials, has agreed to a $65 million settlement with securities regulators over its disclosures.
It sends a very strong signal that, like, you've got to mature and grow up, and you got to have policies and procedures that allow you to follow the letter of the law.
And where lawmakers are landing in the scramble to reach an agreement on another round of stimulus. Plus, how airlines are making accommodations for a new passenger, the COVID-19 vaccines. It's Thursday, December 17th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Here's what's news. Google has been slapped with another antitrust lawsuit, this time over claims the company maintained a monopoly over the online search market through anti-competitive contracts and conduct. In a blog post Thursday, Google's economic policy director said some of the actions described in the suit were taken to improve search results. Today's 38-state lawsuit comes after a months-long investigation by Colorado, Nebraska, New York, and others. It's the third government antitrust action against Google in recent days. Yesterday, another coalition of states led by Texas accused the company of preserving its dominance in the advertising market by striking a deal with its rival Facebook. Google has called the claims baseless. Facebook declined to comment. A Food and Drug Administration advisory panel has recommended that Moderna's COVID-19 vaccine be cleared for broad use. That sets the stage for the FDA to grant an emergency use authorization tomorrow. Distribution of a second COVID-19 vaccine could start within 24 hours of that authorization. And distribution is something economists are watching closely. They expect the labor market recovery to continue cooling until vaccines are more widely available. Weekly jobless claims rose to 885,000, marking a second straight week of increases. Claims declined in many states last week, but rose in some populous ones, including Illinois and California, that have seen surging infections and imposed new restrictions. Lawmakers are considering another stopgap spending bill to avert a government funding deadline and allow more time to wrap up negotiations on a coronavirus relief bill. Top Republicans and Democrats are closing in on a stimulus bill that would include another direct check to Americans, enhanced unemployment benefits, and provide aid to small businesses. And Russia's ban from international sports for doping offenses has been cut in half after Russia appealed a decision by the World Anti-Doping Agency. The country will be banned from next summer's postponed Tokyo Olympics and the 2022 Beijing Winter Games. Russian athletes will still be allowed to compete as neutral athletes if they're not under suspension. Their uniforms cannot display the flag of the Russian Federation, but they can include the word Russia. Critics of the ruling say authorities have been too lenient. Coming up after the break, why popular trading app Robinhood is facing legal scrutiny. The popular trading app Robinhood has more than 13 million customer accounts. More than 3 million were created just this year. And it's becoming a go-to for newcomers to investing. But Robinhood has also been under scrutiny. Yesterday, we reported that regulators in Massachusetts are suing the company, alleging that it aggressively marketed to rookie investors and doesn't have sufficient controls to protect them. Robinhood denies the allegations. Today, the company agreed to a $65 million settlement with the Securities and Exchange Commission over claims that it didn't sufficiently disclose business deals with high-speed trading firms. Joining me now to talk about Robinhood and the SEC's investigation is Wall Street Journal enforcement reporter Dave Michaels. Hi, Dave. Thanks for being here.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
So, Dave, can you briefly explain what Robinhood is and how it works?
Robinhood is a online brokerage. You know, it exists in the same space that, you know, companies like Schwab and Ameritrade and Merrill and, you know, other online brokers exist. They are sort of synonymous with a particular demographic of traders, however. And they're a younger company that has, you know, offered trading largely through phone apps. A lot of their customer demographic tends to be younger men who are very interested in trading and have responded very well to sort of the high octane, highly visual interface that Robinhood offers through its phone app.
And why was the SEC looking into Robinhood?
The SEC started an investigation into Robinhood at least a couple of years ago, after some media reports, I think, that talked about how Robinhood communicated how it made money. And, you know, a broker dealer, like any, you know, major participant in the securities markets, you know, has to be transparent and give full and fair information to customers about how its business works. And, you know, there were some media reports a few years ago that suggested that Robinhood on its website didn't disclose one of the key ways that it makes money, which is it gets revenue by sending stock and options orders to high frequency traders that in turn trade with those orders, you know, therefore executing them for Robinhood's customers.
That is really the crux of the case. There are other parts to this case, but this disclosure sort of failure is really underscores, I think, in some way, the sensitivity that maybe a startup technology firm doesn't have to regulation that your typical broker dealer would have, right? Your typical broker dealer understands, you just got to make these disclosures. They're material. The SEC will hammer you if you don't. And if you're a startup, you might think, well, we can put these in the regulatory reports. We can put these in the places we're supposed to put them, but we don't have to highlight it on our website. And I'm not saying that was Robinhood's, you know, thinking, although the SEC settlement order does imply that. I think that is an interesting sort of way to think about the challenges that a tech startup has in this very technical world of being a broker dealer.
What are you hearing from Robinhood about the settlement? Is the company saying anything in response?
They put out the kind of statement that you often see from companies that are settling SEC investigations, where they say, first of all, they neither admit nor deny the SEC's allegations. That is a standard part of an SEC settlement. But, you know, what Robinhood said is quite consistent with what other companies say. They've improved. And, you know, they also did say that they take their responsibilities quite serious because they do sit in this sort of pole position in terms of the millennial trading world, right? Like this world of like younger people being drawn to investing for the first time, being drawn to trading for the first time. And, you know, Robinhood says, look, we get it. We understand that we have sort of like maybe even a special responsibility, and we have to pay very close attention to our regulatory obligations, but also just our general, you know, duties that we have to our customers.
I want to pick up on something you said about how widely used this app has become, especially during the pandemic and especially among less experienced investors. Can you talk about Robinhood's popularity over the past few months?
Well, I mean, there is this sense that there's a correlation between Robinhood's growth and, you know, the fact that so many new traders slash investors have been drawn to the market since the pandemic, right? When the asset prices kind of crashed in February and March, and people were working from home, they had more time to learn about investing and to trade. And honestly, stocks were cheap, right? I mean, it made sense for people to buy stocks. That was, you know, if you didn't think the world was going to end, that was a very smart time to buy stocks. And if you're a novice, good for you to buy then. So Robinhood has really flourished. It was flourishing already, but it's flourished even more since the beginning of the year. So much so that people are now reporting that Robinhood is eyeing its own IPO. I think the question that we still sort of have is like, it's a Silicon Valley company. It was founded by technologists, but who had experience in trading, and they grew really fast, and they're still growing really fast. And the question is, you know, how fast are they adapting their compliance framework and sort of just how they behave as a company toward their customers? How fast is that adapting to their like light speed growth, right? As a startup, you really want to feed the growth, right? You want to make your investments to feed growth. And at the same time, compliance requires its own investments. And obviously those just aren't sometimes as sexy.
What are the implications for Robinhood and other companies like it that are seeking to appeal to newer traders facing this legal scrutiny?
It just goes with the business that they've gotten into. Robinhood is a broker dealer, and the broker dealer world is highly, highly regulated. It is one of the most regulated businesses, you know, in the United States, and the regulations are very prescriptive. So you can easily run afoul of them if you don't have experts telling you how your sort of operations
match up with regulation. So, you know, I think you saw this penalty. $65 million is a lot of money. It sends a very strong signal that, like, you've got to mature and grow up, and you got to have policies and procedures that allow you to follow the letter of the law, right? So I think the sort of message has been sent. That's what the SEC does. It's not a criminal enforcement agency. It's a civil enforcement agency. They can punish you with fines. They can do other things that don't happen as often, but the fine here is a really significant one. And, you know, if you're one of these companies that's sort of mimicking Robinhood, trying to copycat what they do, go after, you know, grab market share from the same sort of segment of the market, I would imagine reading this enforcement action is worth your time, and just understanding that, you know, your business is going to be under the same level of scrutiny.
Wall Street Journal enforcement reporter Dave Michaels. Dave, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
And finally, rolling out the biggest vaccination effort in history is not just a medical feat. It's also a huge logistical effort. Specialized cargo airlines like UPS, FedEx, and DHL have already contracted with some vaccine manufacturers to ship vials directly by air and truck. Now, our aerospace and defense reporter Doug Cameron says passenger airlines want to get in on the effort and have started repurposing their jets to handle the authorized COVID-19 vaccines.
The Pfizer vaccine, as many people know, has to be kept frozen, which requires dry ice, which you can only carry so much of on a plane because of the risk of carbon dioxide buildup when the dry ice melts. What you have now is dozens of airlines and aircraft starting the planning stage. They're linking up the manufacturing sites from the pharmaceutical companies, transporting them to big airport hubs, and then on to the final destinations, which include hospitals and pharmacies. This is a huge, huge exercise.
But while the shipments are incredibly important, Doug says the vaccines will only account for about 1% of air cargo next year, and they won't make up for the billions of dollars in losses airlines have incurred as a result of the pandemic. And that's what's news for this Thursday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.